Demon fans, and welcome back to the Demonland podcast. My name is Andy, and in a moment I'll be having a chat with Melbourne Football Club small forward Cade Chandler about his road from being overlooked in the draft to his rookie listing, to his apprenticeship as a sub, to VFL Premiership, to his breakout 2023 season, to mainstay in the forward line, and much, much more. You can check out our other interviews with MFC players, current and former, as well as coaches and assistants and administrators by heading over to demonland.com. Don't forget to leave us a five-star review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. We'd really appreciate it, and we'll give you a shout-out on the show. Now here's Cade. Our guest tonight was selected by the Dees at pick number 15 in the 2018 rookie draft. In late 2019, he was elevated from the rookie list to the senior list and made his AFL debut in round 22 against the Swans. He spent the next few years at Casey making the occasional cameo for the Demons as the medical sub and was one of the best afield in Casey's 2022 premiership with 23 disposals and 7 tackles. He had his breakout season in 2023, playing in 23 games and booting 24 goals, including 5 bags of 3 goals. He is now a mainstay in the forward pocket for the Dees. Welcome to the Demonland podcast, Cade Chandler.
Thanks for having me.
Cade, you hail from Charra in South Australia, which is 580 k's northwest of Adelaide, so it's quite remote. You played footy in Ceduna before heading to the big smoke of Adelaide and playing for Norwood just prior to your draft year. You're overlooked in the 2018 national draft, but taken by the Demons in the rookie draft. Can you take us through the draft process? Were you on the radar of any clubs? Did you have any expectations of being picked in the draft or as a rookie? And how did you ultimately feel being taken by the Dees?
Yeah, well, I can recall that day very vividly. I remember watching the draft, the national draft, because I think it was done over 2 days. The first day was the first round, and then second round onwards, and the rookie draft was on the following day. So obviously, during my under 18s year, I only spoke to two clubs. I only spoke to Melbourne and Fremantle. My cousin was going through that same process at the same time as me, who was also at Norwood, and he spoke to 16 clubs in his in our draft year. So comparatively, my expectations weren't all that high, just based off of how many clubs that I'd spoken to. But my under 18s coach at the time said, you only need one club to like you. It doesn't matter how many you speak to. So had a few meetings with Melbourne, and I can remember watching the draft, and obviously when Melbourne passed on their last draft pick in the national draft, I was a little bit disappointed, but I wasn't overly optimistic at the same time due to probably the lack of scouting, I guess, or attention that I got during my under-18s year. So, you know, I remember going into my bedroom at the time, and I just watched put a movie on, because the rookie draft was on about 6:30 that night. But little did I know it was 6:30 Eastern time, and I was in Adelaide. So I actually missed the rookie draft. I got a phone call from my manager at the time saying, congrats, mate. I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And he said, oh, the Dees have just picked you up in the rookie draft. And I pretty much had no idea. I was literally lying in bed. And that phone call was pretty special. And then, soon after, Goody rang me and, said, welcome to the Dees. And that was on a Thursday, and I was in Melbourne on the Saturday, and my life changed after that. So it was unexpected, but at the same time, it was a pretty cool experience.
Did your cousin end up getting drafted?
No, he didn't, unfortunately.
Well, there you go. You only need one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my coach was right. Yeah, you only need one. So very, very happy, very grateful to be picked up and obviously start my career at the Dees.
I've actually interviewed a couple of your teammates in the last year, Judd McVee and Colton Tolstrup. They've come from similar backgrounds as you, that is, you know, from the farm or rural areas to living interstate in a big city. How did you adjust to life away from home in the big smoke?
Well, I was probably lucky because I went to boarding school for 3 years. So I shifted to Adelaide in 2015 and spent the last 3 years of my schooling at boarding school at Prince Alfred College in Adelaide. So those 3 years, I had used to, you know, adapt and get used to the big city, because where I'm from, my hometown's only got about 150 people in it. Yeah. So that was quite a leap. And then once I finished school, I actually had a year out of school before I got drafted, and where I lived in Adelaide, and worked as a window cleaner with a couple of mates. So I'd lived in Adelaide for 4 years before getting picked up by Melbourne. It was certainly a jump from going from Adelaide to Melbourne, but one that I was, you know, I was probably equipped to handle, considering I'd spent a bit of time in the city already.
Last year, you recommitted to the D's for 3 more years, making you a Demon till at least 2026. So you resisted the urge to go back home to family. Was that an easy or a difficult decision to make, particularly with clubs like the Crows and the Power always circling the South Aussies?
Yeah, last year, I think it was April last year, you know, we got off to a fairly good start as a team. I was playing some pretty good footy at that stage of the year. I was happy with my living arrangement. I was happy with how I was going personally. I was really happy with how the team's going. So there wasn't really too much hesitation to re-sign with the club. Like, you know, I'll take you back to my draft year, and where Melbourne took a bit of a chance on a bit of an an unscouted rookie. So, you know, there was a bit of like loyalty there. I felt like I owed the club to recommit, and it wasn't a favour. Like I want to be here. I love the club. I bloody love the boys. So it was just seemed like a match made in heaven. When the opportunity came up halfway through last year, there was hardly any hesitation. So yeah, we got it done, and I'm here until at least the end of 2026.
And hopefully beyond. You debuted towards the end of 2019, and then in just your second year at the club, COVID hits. You're not in the senior team at the time. You're in the hubs. There's no real competition for the seconds players, bar a couple of scratch matches, and it's almost impossible to show your wares. How hard was that for an emerging player like yourself to navigate that time?
It was an interesting experience. It was one that was very unexpected. You know, after I debuted, I thought that my career was just going to take off. But, you know, unfortunately, it didn't happen, and everything's earned in this game. And I was still very immature at that stage, and probably didn't take control of my own career. So I feel like I went from debuting and then coming back the next year, I had a positional change, and I thought everything was just going to happen for me. I didn't go after it, and I probably didn't take ownership of my career until the end of that year. Had some really honest chats with Goody and the high performance staff at the end of the, what was it, 2020, in my exit meeting, and I come back the following year really motivated to do well. And obviously we ended up winning the premiership, and I felt like I was, you know, even though I didn't play, I felt like I contributed to that as a teammate. You know, I was an emergency for grand final day. So, yeah, that meant a lot to me to really, you know, grab hold of my own career and really take ownership and go after how I want to be seen, how professional I am. And I want to play. I wanted to play AFL footy every week. So that was the end of the hub year was a real probably career changing experience for me.
A year later, you did get to experience a bit of premiership glory for yourself with a flag at Casey. You're one of the best players on the field that day. 27 possessions, 7 tackles. That must have been a special day for you and a great experience.
Yeah, it certainly was. It missing out on the AFL grand final definitely grew some motivation in me at the start of 2022. So I knew that if I wasn't going to be in the team, then I was just going to be doing everything I could to help the VFL team win and to put my best foot forward as well for AFL selection. We had a fantastic team in 2022. We had some serious talent, some incredible depth, and to only lose one game that year is a tremendous effort. And, to go on and win the premiership was I think it was my first premiership that I'd ever played in, actually. So it was a pretty cool moment for me and my family and the rest of the boys who played in that as well.
So it was a good springboard for your career, because last year, 2023, was a breakout year for you, averaging 12 possessions, 2.5 tackles, a goal a game, including those 5 bags of 3 goals. You've continued that form into this season, averaging 13 possessions, 4 tackles, still a goal a game. And in my humble opinion, you're a lock each week. A lot of hard work went in for you securing that spot, as you've just mentioned, in that position. The position does have a lot of competition amongst players on our list. What do you attribute the consistency in performance over last year and into this year?
Well, last year I had some good games early in the year, but I probably faded off a little bit towards the back half of the year. I probably didn't have my balance, like my work and my life balance, like together, you know. I probably didn't have my off-field side of things sorted as much. Like I really immersed myself in football, and last year was a fantastic learning experience because of, you know, I was in the thick of it for 23 weeks, and then I learned a lot about my routine and how to get away from the game. So, last year was fantastic at the start of the year, but, I probably lost my way a little bit during the back end of the year. And I think it comes down to, like I said, like just having a little bit of an unbalance with my work and life. I probably burnt out a little bit at the end of last year. So it was a great learning curve. And this year I've tried to implement those things that I've learned. And also I have to give the coaches props. You know, I spoke to Goody a couple of weeks ago, spoke to staff about how, you know, during the practice matches I wasn't playing the way I would have liked, and even round one against Sydney I didn't play the way that I would have liked. So they just backed me in. They said that they wanted me to play with confidence and use my strengths. So for them to be able to back me in over the, you know, at the start of the year, it really means a lot, and it allows me to go out there and play freely. So props to them for sure.
Traditionally, the small forward role was like a crumbing, opportunistic type role, but it's evolved to so much more now. How do you view the modern small forward role? And when the coaches analyse your performance, what do they impress upon you the most? Is it the goals, the pressure acts, the tackling, the two-way running? I imagine it's a mix of all of it, but what sort of do they focus most on?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of the times as a small forward, you know, you can be reliant on what happens up the ground. So we talk about just making the most of your opportunities when they come. Some games have, you know, 3 or 4 opportunities, or some have more, and then some games you don't get too many opportunities at all. So it's about, you know, when those opportunities do arise, to make the most of them. We talk about our defensive pressure, we talk about our fundamentals, we talk about our running patterns, and we find that the small forward role can be a really selfless role at times. So there's a few different things that we judge our games on, but I'd say it's probably about defensive pressure, taking your opportunities when you get them, and a lot of the selfless acts as well, like, your two-way running, filling holes so our backs can go to work and stuff like that. So, I wouldn't put it down to one thing, but there's lots of different things. But, I've had some great mentors. Alex Neilborn's probably the pin-up boy for the way that the small forward role should be played. So, and he's been a great mentor for me. So, if you want to learn how to play small forward, go and watch Nibber play, because he just does it every week so consistently.
In our weekly podcast last week, we had a member of Demonland ask us a question about leadership in the forward line. So in the back line, we've got the two generals, Stephen May, Jake Lever. They're marshalling the troops back there. There's no shortage of leaders in the middle with, Max Gorn, Jack Viney, as well as Track. You know, our forward line, however, whether through injuries or positional changes, because we've had a lot over the last few years with the injuries, players coming in and out, there's a perception that there isn't a leader there, someone on the field calling the shots. Now, us as supporters, we're not on the field. We don't hear what's going on down there on game day. is there a hierarchy or someone that's taken the mantle and he's directing the troops on game day? Or is the forward line and the way it's structured and the way it functions, is that a different beast to, say, the back line?
I wouldn't say that there's like there's one general due to the way that our forward line has to be really fluid. Yeah. You know, guys are running through different positions all the time, so it's difficult for one person. I feel like that's something we actually pride ourselves on quite well as forwards, is that we share that responsibility. We're quite a young forward line, and we're developing our leadership quite quickly. You know, Jacob Van Rooyen, Harry Petty, Bailey Fritch is emerging. All these guys are emerging as vocal leaders on field. The higher forwards can be a little bit more difficult to be that leader, because we're up the ground and it can be a little bit more difficult to see the way that the ground looks. So we probably let those guys, you know, Fritter, Pets and Rui to really set us up, because they're deeper, they can see the whole ground in front of them. But it's certainly not left up to them. You know, Cozzy, myself, Jack Billings, Alex Newborn, we all share that responsibility. And if it's not getting done, then it's not on one person, it's on us all. And if it is getting done, then, you know, we're all looking around, giving each other a thumbs up, saying well done. So, yeah, I wouldn't say that we've got a general. I'd say that we're a forward line full of generals.
Good to hear. The D's have 5 players in the team at the moment who have played under 10 games. It's the most of any club at this present time. Who of this young brigade are you most excited about, and who that's currently maybe at Casey are you most looking forward to debuting in the future?
Oh, gee, that's a it's a tough question to put it down to one player.
Give them all a pump up.
I'm going to have to. I think Caleb Windsor, obviously, we've already seen what he can do with his leg speed and his X factor. He's going to be an incredible player, and he's only 18 years old. So for him to be doing what he's doing at this age is pretty phenomenal. You know, the wing is can be a daunting position. You're playing on quality opponents every week, so. But he's seemed to make that position his own, and he's been a real driving force in our offense this year with his leg speed. So he's probably one who obviously comes to the forefront of our minds, because he's kind of walked in the door and he's just kind of I wouldn't say, you know, not necessarily dominated, but definitely grabbed that position since the first day he walked in. Blake House is another one who's just slotted in perfectly in our back line. You know, he's becoming more and more reliable every week. He's someone who's been around for a few years now. He played in the 2022 grand final, and he's had to bide his time and really work on his game and hone his strengths, and you can see that coming out. That's a real pride that we take in our VFL program, about making guys ready for AFL when their opportunity arises, and to see those guys fit in so seamlessly is a real credit to our coach at VFL level, Taylor Whitford, and also our squad mentality and guys just always looking to get better.
Charlie Spargo, one of your competitors for a spot in the forward pocket, he's been missing since he re-injured his Achilles in the opening round. He initially injured that during pre-season. He's been listed on the injury list at 3 to 4 weeks for a while now. Can you give us an update on his progress?
Sparks is traveling well. I think he's had the Achilles has been lingering for a little while now for him. He was seen running. I think he had a pretty solid session a couple of days ago at Amy Park, so at Gosh's Paddock. So, 3 to 4 weeks away. I'm not entirely sure what the timeline's going to look like for Spargs, but, excited to have him back playing footy, that's for sure.
And, okay, before I let you go, your knee has been heavily bandaged for a number of weeks. So we have track watches out at Gosh's Paddock most weeks, and you're sometimes on light duties post-match. How's the knee holding up? Obviously, it's good enough to get you on the park each week, but are there any concerns there?
There's no structural concerns. I've just spoken to the physios today, and it's come up come up well from training. I got through. I was able to tick off everything I needed to tick off heading into the weekend. So happy for me. It's just a little bit of pain management, just from a little bit of lingering tightness in my knee, but that's about it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Cade. We really do appreciate it. Good luck for Saturday night against the Cats, as well as for the rest of the season. And D's fans, make sure you're out in force, supporting the boys. And Cade, let's hope we can celebrate a flag come the last Sunday in September. Thank you, Cade Chandler.
That'd be fantastic. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
That was Cade Chandler. Thank you to Cade and the Melbourne Football Club for the interview. Make sure to head to the G this Saturday night for our top four clash against the unbeaten Cats and show the boys your support. We'll be back on Monday night at 8:30 p.m. to dissect that match against the Cats. You can tune in live by heading over to demonland.com. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts. We'd really appreciate that, and we will give you a shout-out on the next show. Go Demons!
Go Red Leggers!